Welcome to the Tin and J-Man Show, episode 451, streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, the ISC Sports Network X page, their Twitch channel, their YouTube channel, the Tin and J-Man Show Facebook page, and the Tin and J-Man Show YouTube channel. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button if you haven't done so already. And if you're listening on your favorite audio podcast platform, please hit that like and follow button and give us a five-star rating and review. It's an easy way to support our podcast and not spend any money in supporting us. So it's free and easy to do so. So with all that said, I'm Tanner Lee. You already know that by now if you're a loyal listener or viewer of the show. But alongside me on the screen is not Josh the J-Man Munt. It is my father, Eric Lee, in a lime green fluorescent t-shirt. Dad, what's going on? Thanks for filling in for the J-Man again.
You're welcome. Not much going on here.
A little cooler outside today, so yes. that's nice. You know, Josh and I always have to be old men talk about the weather when we start these podcasts, so we got to keep that going. But I like summer and all, but man, it's been brutal heat wise lately.
Yeah, we had quite a week last week.
Yes, we sure did. But like I said, it's July 7th. Hope everybody had a good 4th of July holiday and holiday weekend. It kind of brings the dog days of summer into play in July for sports, wouldn't you say? Kind of a dead period if you're not a big baseball fan, at least.
Yeah, it's always been the month for sports in England with the in Europe. You have the Tour de France, you have Wimbledon, and you have the British Open. So the non-baseball stuff kind of heads over to Europe for a month, and then. August starts bringing football practice. So, and the dog days of baseball are upon us. So it is kind of a dull time.
Yeah, we're almost at the halfway point. All-star game selections were over the weekend, which we can get into here momentarily. So, you know, that means trade deadline coming up shortly after the all-star break. So now I know we did our pretender and contender series last week on the show, but I think you can really start putting that in focus now. And you're talking about football ramping up. I mean, yeah, NFL training camps are going to be starting here in a matter of a couple weeks. College is in August. And, I mean, week zero is August 23rd, I believe, this year. So, and then week one's, at least the first Saturday, week one's August 30th. So
why do they have to call it week zero?
I don't know. I don't know why they had to call it anything. It's still only a handful of games, really.
Right, but that's week one.
I don't know. I guess the majority of teams play that next week, so that's really week one. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But did you bring some birdie or bogey trivia with you this evening to challenge me so I can probably get another bogey?
I did, and I know you, I enjoy professional golf, and that doesn't get talked on a ton on the Tan and J-Man show, but my question today involves golf. My question is, there are two guys that are tied, so if you get one of these right, you'll get a par. Get both of them right, you get a birdie.
All right.
What two players have the most wins on the tour without winning a major championship? This under 50 years old, still participating. What two guys have the most wins without winning one of the four majors?
I think I know one right off the bat, but the other one I'm going to have to think about a little bit.
All right.
Yep.
That's not as easy as it can get.
Would it be, though, for the non-golf fan? I doubt.
I'm pretty sure Josh would have still guessed Aaron Judge.
But, yeah, probably.
You would be wrong.
Probably. But that's a good question. It's fitting for the birdie or bogey segment being a golf question. It's brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, the Arlington Public House. I almost did a completely different read. Arlington Public House, it has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And I know on their Facebook page last week, they were pushing their ramen night, which is every Wednesday night. Pretty hard. You can get chicken ramen or the Bria ramen. So you a ramen fan, Dad, or you ever had ramen?
I don't think I've ever had it. Is it worth trying?
It looks good. I've had like ramen noodles. I like that, but I haven't had what it looks like in this picture on their Facebook page, but it looks pretty good. And I mean, I know you like Asian cuisine, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that a try.
I can't see your mother eating it, but maybe.
No.
Yeah.
No. And they were closed Friday and Saturday for 4th of July holiday. Of course, closed tonight on Monday like they always are, but they will resume normal business hours tomorrow on Tuesday, July 8th. So.
All right.
Hop on in, 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. You won't be disappointed no matter what you get to eat or drink. So, well, I thought we'd start off the show talking golf. And since we're going to start off the show talking golf, one of my two blind rankings is golf related. I'll give you both blind rankings, though, at once. I couldn't make up my mind which blind ranking list I want to do. So I'm like, you know what? We probably need stuff to talk about. I'm going to do two. This week.
Okay.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want. That's pretty much what I thought. So,
all right.
But we'll start with the non-golf blind ranking and then go to golf and then go into our open talk. So today, technically today, if you order the deluxe edition, EA Sports NCAA Football 2026 came out today. The standard edition comes out Thursday. Record selling game for EA Sports last year after a, 10-year hiatus, I think it was. I mean, the whole players getting paid, not getting paid thing with their name, image, and likeness on the game, blah, blah, blah. Came back last year, so it came out today. So I looked at cover athletes who have graced the cover of, it used to be NCAA football, but now it's college football, over the years. So I picked five guys at random. And you can grade them however you want, whatever criteria. If you want to do just college career, that's fine. College and pro career, that's fine. Just pro career, whatever you want. It's your list. You go for it. Starting with the guy who graced the cover in 2003, Joey Harrington.
Well, I am going to go college only.
Okay.
And I'm going to give Joey I think you're going to have some good names in here. So I'm going to give Joey a 5.
Five. Okay. He was pretty darn good at Oregon.
He was good at Oregon. Maybe I am holding back a little bit because of his NFL career, but I think you're going to have 4 better than Joey Harrington.
Yeah, there's most of the athletes on here that have graced the cover, football players, I should say, have been pretty good. I mean, I'll go over some names after the list that maybe were questionable choices to be on the cover, but my 5 are all pretty good. Next up, go ahead.
Plus, Joey's only the second most famous Harrington, his cousin Padraig.
Yes, who is not on my blind ranking list, so it's okay to talk about Padraig.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yep. Next up, the guy who graced the cover in 2006, Desmond Howard. They went with a legend in 2006.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winner. Kind of gave the pose as he ran a punt back, I believe it was, beat Ohio State back in whenever it was. And then became a Super Bowl MVP also for running a kickback. So I'll give him the 4 slot.
Okay.
I'll put him ahead of Joey, obviously, but.
It's interesting when you talk about him being the Super Bowl MVP for the Packers win over the Patriots in Super Bowl 31. A lot of people just assume it's Brett Favre was the MVP.
Right.
Nope.
They had that game on the NFL Network this week, and I didn't remember, but it was 27-21, and he ran the kickback. So that one play overdid all. You know, Favre had a great game.
Yeah.
Much like Jim McMahon did when the Bears won it, but they gave it to Richard Dent, who just had a sack and a half. So, yeah, it's the way it goes sometimes.
Yep. This guy graced the cover in 2009, along with, let me fact check myself. I think 2009 was the year they had, because there was, it came out for 4-5 different consoles in 2009. So they had 5 different players. This guy graced the cover for the then Xbox 360, Darren McFadden.
Oh, Darren McFadden. Well, I'm going to put him at 3. If I'd have known it was Darren McFadden, I would have put him at 4, maybe even 5.
But, really?
Yeah.
I think he's one of the most underrated running backs in college football history.
Well, he was a good Razorback. Yeah, it's been a while, but I would have thought Desmond Howard's college career was actually above Darren McFadden's, but
Okay, that's fair. I mean, he did win the Heisman Trophy, Darren did, but I think you'd be surprised if you go back and look at Darren McFadden's career stats, how darn good he was on some. I mean, Arkansas, had to play the gauntlet of the SEC, and in that backfield, at least for a year or two, he also had Felix Jones and Peyton Hillis. Pretty darn good backfield.
I was going to say they had quite a team.
Matt Jones was also a quarterback, hybrid wide receiver on that
Yeah, they
team.
got drafted in the first round to become a receiver.
Yeah, by the Jaguars. Yep.
And McFadden had a nice pro career for a few years, so
Nope. Okay.
yeah.
This guy graced the cover in 2011, Tim Tebow.
Just based on college, you'd almost have to put Tebow first. I mean, he was a Heisman winner. He w led him to a national championship, and I believe he's in the top three of another Heisman year.
Yes, he was. And he actually won two national championships, but his freshman year was more Chris Leak was the starter, but
He was the prototypical athlete you think of as who was a phenomenal college athlete, but a pretty average pro. He had his game or two, he had that
sure.
NBA streak. Kind of like Adam Morrison or Jimmy Fredette or some of the college basketball names of the past, but I'd probably have to put Tebow first, and unless you have this other guy who I thought was the best college football player I ever saw. So we'll see.
Well, the last one I have on this list graced the cover in 2013, Robert Griffin III.
I think second would be right for RG3. He wasn't supposed to win that Heisman. That was Andrew Luck, and then he got hot at late in the year, and I think that Baylor team was only 8-3, 9-3 type team, but he really lit it up late in the year. Sometimes I think it worked against Andrew Luck. I think it worked against Peyton Manning. Sometimes you get all the preseason accolades and stuff, and they're just looking for somebody else to vote for.
Well, I think when it comes to Stanford, at least back then when they were in the Pac-10 at the time, now Pac-12, and we know they're in the ACC now, which just doesn't make sense geographically speaking, but nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about our opinions when it comes to that. But I think Stanford's always been hurt by being on so late because I think Andrew Luck, of course, had a good case. Toby Gerhart, I thought, had a good case to win the Heisman. And I thought Christian McCaffrey had a real good case to win the Heisman. None of them won it.
Do you remember the last Heisman from Stanford?
Jim Plunkett?
Jim Plunkett.
Yeah, John Elway didn't win it.
Yeah, beat out. Yeah, that's true. I saw Elway play twice in college, actually,
Yeah.
at Ross 8. Plunkett beat out Archie Manning, Mississippi. So
So if you had to re-rank them, how would you rank them?
I would still put Tebow first, RG3 second. I would probably put Desmond Howard third, Darren McFadden fourth, and
There
Joey
we go.
Harrington fifth.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. Looking at all the college football games ever, there was actually, I never heard of this game, Bill Walsh College Football 94, then 95. Bill Walsh was on the cover of that, of course. College Football USA 96 had a generic wide receiver for Kansas State, a generic running back for Michigan, a generic player head for Florida State, a helmet. Tommy Trojan, mascot of USC, and the University of Wisconsin marching band. College Football USA 97 had Tommy Frazier of
Oh,
Nebraska.
yeah.
NCAA Football 98 had Danny Werfel of Florida.
Yeah, one of your lesser Heisman Trophy winners.
NCAA Football 99 had Charles Woodson of Michigan.
Yeah.
NCAA Football 2000 had Ricky Williams of Texas.
Yeah.
NCAA Football 2001 had Sean Alexander of Alabama. The first NCAA football game I ever owned was this one, NCAA Football 2002 at Chris Winkie of Florida
Oh,
State.
geez.
Then I said Joey Harrington in 03. 04 was Carson Palmer of USC. 05 was Larry Fitzgerald of Pittsburgh.
He did all right.
07 was Reggie Bush of
That's
USC.
what I was waiting for, the best college football player I ever saw.
2008 was Jared Zebranski of Boise State.
Oh, yeah, the quarterback.
2009, I said there was you came out for five different consoles. Darren McFadden was Xbox 360. Sparty was on the Wii, just a mascot, Sparty. Owen Schmidt, fullback of West Virginia, was on the PSP cover.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, Boston College was on the PS3 cover, and DeSean Jackson was on the PS2 cover.
Oh, Owen Schmidt kind of is the one that maybe doesn't belong in that group.
They did the same thing again the following year, but with four consoles. They didn't do the Wii. Brian Arakpo of Texas was on the PS2 cover in 2010. Brian Johnson of Utah, quarterback, was on PS3. Mark Sanchez of USC was on the PSP. Brian Johnson was PS3, excuse me. Mark Sanchez was PSP. And Michael Crabtree was the Xbox 360.
Mm.
Then they went back to one cover athlete, Tim Tebow in 2011. Mark Ingram in 2012. 2013, they had one cover but two athletes. I chose Robert Griffin III, but the other one was Barry Sanders because they had a Legends mode. 2014, which was the last game before last year's, was Denard Robinson, Shoelace of Michigan. Shoelace.
Yeah.
Then last year on College Football 25, the cover athletes were Quinn Ewers, Travis Hunter, and Donovan Edwards. And this year, Ryan Williams of Alabama and Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State graced this year's cover.
Okay.
Yep.
They're probably getting compensated pretty well.
Yes. Every player gets paid the same for being in the game, but if you're on the cover, I think you get paid a little more.
Probably right.
And I think last year it was $500 in a free copy of the game if you opted in. I think they upped it this year because they made so much money off of it last year.
I don't know why you wouldn't opt in.
And some guys, they don't put in the game until the year. Say a freshman didn't opt in or something or wasn't on the campus to opt in. They might put them in the game as the year goes on in an update. That happened a few times.
Yeah.
Last year. But yeah. Yeah. So that is that blind ranking. Now we'll get to the golf blind ranking. Okay. Once again, these are five guys who have won the Open Championship, or as I like to say, it's always going to be the British Open to me over the years. And once again, you can rank them however you like. The 1998 winner, who was?
98?
Yes.
Was that Todd Hamilton?
No, Todd Hamilton was in the 2000s.
Oh. Justin Leonard won it 97. 98. I think Duval was more like 2001.
Yes, he was.
Or 2000, maybe.
2001. I'll just give it to you.
Marco Mira. I'm going to rate him 4.
Okay.
Yeah. 2-time. He also won a Masters same year.
Yep.
I think he won 15, 17 times in his career. Good player.
I mean, Masters and Open in the same year. That's a career right there.
Won at Pebble Beach like 4 or 5 times. That was kind of his playground.
Couple Ryder Cups, I think.
Buddies with Tiger.
Yep.
And I think Tiger kind of willed him in there that year. Because that was his playing partner on the side back home. So
sure,
yeah, I'm comfortable with 4, Mark O'Meara.
Well, you just mentioned this guy, David Duval, 2001. What an interesting career!
Yeah, only won one major, but boy, he was in the hunt a lot.
I think he had 14 or 15 career wins, but then after the Open, he never won again.
I know his career; he just kind of fizzled after that.
A lot of injuries too.
I would say let's put him at 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's kind of a heartbreaker for you. I know it was for me as a fan. 2009 Stewart Cink.
Yeah. Tom Watson was the sentimental pick at 58, which would have been his 6th British Open. But Stewart Cink, I think he won 8 or 9 times on the PGA Tour. Does well in the seniors. But I'll put him as 5. I'm comfortable with that being below the other 2 at this point.
One of the worst golf tan lines I've ever seen. Yeah, when he takes his hat off.
Yeah, he's got a white head and a red face at all times.
2015 champion, Zach Johnson.
Zach, I'm going to put him at 2. He was a 2-time winner. Had another opportunity. I think it was also at a British Open when Spieth won the playoff. Wasn't he one of the ones involved? Mark Leishman and him.
I don't remember that.
There's like a 4-person playoff, but Zach's won 12 times on the PGA Tour. You know, won a Masters and an Open. I think he'll be a Hall of Famer. Wasn't a great Ryder Cup captain, but
no.
He's always been a legend at the Silvis, Illinois, where they played the John Deere Classic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
and lastly, 2022 winner Cameron Smith.
Oh, I only have number one left.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Well, Cam won. He's won six times on the PGA Tour, one British Open. Looked like he was going to be one of the five dominant players in the world. Went to live, was pretty darn successful the first year, and has just fallen off the map.
Mm-hmm.
So he might, you know, how they kind of say in the media that the live guys don't care anymore. Well, him and Dustin, and maybe even to an extent Brooks, are the ones that probably they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because DeChambeau still cares. Rahm still cares.
Sure.
But he's kind of fallen off. He is one of the best putters I've ever seen. But if I had to redo it, I'd probably put Duval at number one, O'Meara at number two, Zach three, Cam four, and Stewart Cink five.
See, I agree with five and four, but I think you put Zach Johnson at one.
Do you?
I do. Masters, Open. I mean, I'm a big David Duval fan, but I put Duval at three.
Well, Duval was number one in the world.
That's true.
Not many people can say that, and we did notice him not shake the hand as little kid as we were at the memorial one year. So he may be a kind of a colossal jerk on the side, but
he's still playing on the senior tour.
Yeah,
just not having much success.
He was one of the first guys to shoot 59. You know, mm-hmm. It'd been done by Al Geiberger at an event where you actually could put your hand on the ball. It had never been done, and then he did it on a Sunday to win famously. I would put Duval ahead of Zach.
And he's got a Players Championship. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he was instrumental in winning the Ryder Cup in '99. He didn't have the longevity that Zach had.
Yeah.
But good debate between the two of them.
Yeah, and I was trying to look up, see who was in that playoff with Spieth.
I think Leishman. I thought Zach was. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he fell out late. But that was about, what, 14 maybe? 15?
Yeah, I'm looking here. Oops, scrolled the wrong way.
Oh, no, Zach won in a playoff. I'm sorry. Wasn't with
the yeah, Spieth beat Matt Kuchar by three strokes.
He did. You're right.
Zach won over Leishman and Louis Oosthuizen in 2015. Yeah.
Louis a live player, and he is he has a runner-up in all four majors. So not many people can say that.
And that was the last time we've had a playoff in the Open, was 2015.
Is that right?
Before that was Cink over Watson. Before that was Padraig over Sergio.
Some of the greatest majors have been.
I didn't realize Todd Hamilton won in a playoff over Ernie Els.
Yeah, that was a shocker. My good friend Todd Hamilton.
But Ernie got it later in 2012 when Adam Scott choked it away.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, some of the best golf, Watson over Nicklaus in the battle at Troon in like 1977. And then there was the Mickelson versus Stenson a few years ago. And third place was literally 11 strokes behind Phil. I think it was
back in 2013. Phil won by three strokes.
You know, and then you talk about Cink beating Watson and then Adam Scott collapsing. And then there was always the Jean Vanderveld year. He just had to make double bogey on the last hole to win. And he made triple. He pulled a Tanner on hole 18.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. A lot of people said, you know, Phil Mickelson historically wasn't good at the Open Championship, but you look from past 2010, he has a pretty good run. I mean, he was a runner-up with Dustin Johnson to Darren Clark in 2011. He won it in 2013. He was runner-up again to Henrik in 2016, and that's pretty darn good.
I think the British Open or the Open is the one tournament where you don't necessarily have to be a bomber.
Yeah.
You got to have a little luck. And maybe even if you're not as great a putter as some of the rest, because the greens aren't near as fast as like they would be at Augusta or a US Open. You know, it never surprises me to see some elder statesman make a move at the British Open.
A lot of it's weather-based, too. Get lucky with the weather or not.
While you're kind of doing lists and we're on golf, I have one real quick thing for you here.
Okay.
The reason I was knowing how many tournaments a lot of these guys won, I was thinking your man, Ricky Fowler, has six career wins on the PGA. And I'm going to tell you the other guys that are still under 50 playing on the PGA who have exactly six. You tell me who had a better career, Ricky or the other guy.
Okay.
Tony Finau.
I think Ricky what separates Ricky will probably separate Ricky with a lot of these guys for me is the Players Championship.
Lucas Glover.
I got to go with Lucas Glover because he's got a major and Ricky doesn't.
Max Homa.
I'll go Ricky. That was close. That's a close one, though. That's a good comparison.
Chris Kirk.
I don't honestly know enough about Chris Kirk's career, so I'm taking Ricky.
Well, he almost won his seventh last week in Detroit. He was
behind
at the very end. Bill Haas.
Did he win a FedEx Cup?
Hit that famous shot from the water.
Yeah. I'm still going Ricky, but that's a close one. I forgot about that guy. Wow.
This one's probably pretty early. Mark Leishman. Now he's on LIV.
Yeah, I'm biased. I can go Ricky, though.
Cam Smith.
I go Cam Smith.
Jimmy Walker.
PGA champion. I put a lot of stake in the major championship, so I'll give it to Jimmy.
Henrik Stenson.
Yeah, I think Henrik's had a better career.
And Hunter Mahan.
Ricky. Ricky over Hunter.
Hey, remember Hunter threw up all over himself in the last hole of the Ryder
Cup. Yeah, that was tough to watch. 2010, I believe it was.
And the last one is Colin Morikawa.
Colin. Two-time major champ. Yeah.
He hasn't won in a couple years either. Actually, Ricky's won since he has, but it's amazing. That's a pretty high-quality list.
Sure. It's
won six.
It's only getting more difficult. It's not getting easier. And I know you got a lot of talented players playing at LIV now, but these young guys coming up out of college, they're fearless. So
although it's kind of funny, they were mentioning the six players that have won multiple events on the PGA this year. And obviously you go, oh yeah, Rory and Scheffler. But then the other ones are Stepp Straka, Ben Campbell, I can't think of his name now. He just won a couple weeks ago in Texas. Ben Martin? Is that Ben Martin?
Yeah.
And I can't even think who the other one is, but there's only been six guys that have won two times or more this year. And four of them are kind of, you know, nobody, not nobodies, but
not household names.
Right.
Yeah.
But Morikawa hasn't won. Xander hasn't won. Patrick Cantlay hasn't won. So some of the top players haven't won this year, which, it's been a year kind of dominated by European players. So it doesn't give you a great feel going into the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. And before we dive into more open talk, which is happening next week, I thought it was this week for some reason, but it's next week.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Josh and I, we already know who Josh is going to be. It'll be his book at next week. Will be Bryson, because Bryson's his new guy to pick on now, that Rory.
Which is not the guy to pick in this one, by the way.
Broke the curse. No. But I do need to get the read here for the Wine Ranking segment, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Proforma Prints You Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Proforma Prints You Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. So you have any prediction? I know we're still a week out, but any guy that's jumping off the map too that you like to win the Open this year?
There's a couple. Tyrell Hatton, I think, is
you always pick Tyrell Hatton.
And he almost got right last time.
He almost did.
If he can control his emotions. I kind of look for Ludvig Åberg to be in the mix. He has
He's the sexy pick every major, and he just hasn't clicked.
He hasn't done well lately, but those two kind of come right off the top of my head. It's just a different type of golf. You know, if it's, from the LIV Tour, Joaquin Niemann hits a low ball. If it's real windy, it could be somebody like him. Scheffler, I don't know. He's never finished higher than seventh in a British Open. But that was last year. Or it could be your good buddy Brian Harman, you know, coming in.
Smoked the field 2 years ago.
Yeah, he did. So now I
could change my pick by next week. My heart wants this guy to win really, really bad. I want Tommy Fleetwood to win.
He's not a bad pick. He's got to get over that closing mentality. He's really good when he's on the chase. But where was it? It was in the Travelers. You know, he just fell apart the last three holes and Keegan got him. So, yeah, Fleetwood. John Rahm's always going to be a pick. You know, and you can never count Scheffler out. It's a different kind of golf, but he's really good.
Well, Scotty's the betting favorite. Rahm's fourth. Rory's second. DeChambeau third. But like you said, I'd stay away from DeChambeau for this one.
He's kind of like I was thinking of Phil early in his career. Like he would never be good in the Open. And like you said, Phil's actually done fairly well, really well, the last 15 years. But high ball hitters usually don't go over there very well.
Another dark horse I like is Robert McIntyre.
Yeah. I agree. He was right there at the U.S. Open.
Looking at this list, it doesn't show everybody. It's on CBS Sports. Phil and Ricky aren't even on the list for odds.
No, I wouldn't. So. They wouldn't be. Ricky's in the field then?
He is in the field. He qualified at the Memorial. He had a good enough finish at the Memorial. He was the top guy that hadn't qualified yet, so he got a spot.
Well, the Scottish Open's this weekend, but it's kind of odd. You go over there early. Really, all you're doing is getting used to the weather and the time because it's not a links course. So they have several raised greens, so you can't bounce it in like you do on the links. So,
yeah.
I think the LIV plays over in Spain, so their guys are at least getting used to the time. But
yeah,
the weather will be nicer in Spain than it will be in. This is Northern Ireland even, isn't it?
Yeah, Royal Portrush, yeah. I mean, that's it's going to be heavy McIlroy and Lowry crowd over there.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I was going to say Shane Lowry just dominated there last time. But
Yep, so we will see. We will see. But got a writing question here from a good friend of the show, Sean Shriver. He wants to know where you and I would rank Joey Chestnut when considering the all-time greatest athletes of all time.
You know, I don't think Joey's in my top five, but he's probably tougher to beat in his sport than Michael Phelps is in swimming.
Unbelievable. I mean, last week I went down the list of different world records he holds, and it just is nonstop. And he didn't even – he dominated the field at Coney Island on the fourth, but he wasn't even close to his own record, and he ate 70 and a half dogs.
Yeah. Well,
how many could you eat? How many could you eat?
I could probably eat seven.
I was thinking about five. I like to think I could do more, but realistically, I think five's about my max.
Yeah. But I'd be like Phyllis on the office and say, pass the mustard.
Yeah. I'd be looking for some Skyline chili or something. Come on.
By the way, the guy who sent the question in, I saw him get second in a pizza eating contest with about 27 pieces. And Pete Smith, who beat him, actually had 28 and went ahead and got another one because he still wasn't full.
No wonder why Pizza Hut in Rochester doesn't do a buffet anymore.
Those two alone put that put that away. All you can eat.
Oh, the good stuff. But any other discussion you want to have about the Open? I know it's still a week away.
Now, I'm sure those who aren't big golf fans probably think, get talking about some of this.
Yep, yep. One thing that's newsworthy because it's of local interest and national interest, the Pacers confirmed that Halliburton won't play next season.
I saw that. The NBA right now is in the news because football's not quite there yet, and I guess these big Fox and ESPN just don't want to talk about baseball. So, but there have been a lot of trades. Durant, it ended up being a 7-team deal. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
The Pacers also lost Miles Turner
to a rival in the Bucks.
Yeah. The Bucks basically replaced Damian Lillard, who was their second best player, with Miles Turner. Lillard's going to be out all next year. So I think they're just trying to keep Giannis somewhat happy, like they're trying, you know. They really appeased him. They went and got Holiday that one year, and they won a title, signed up Middleton and those guys for more years, even when maybe they shouldn't have. Then they go and get Damian Lillard. He gets hurt, and they try to appease Giannis all they can, because basically what would Milwaukee be without him?
Yeah, and in the Pacers, I see here on ESPN, they were prepared to go into tax for Turner. They wanted him back bad.
Yeah.
So.
And the Pacers, they'll still be a nice team next year, but
they'll probably be fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if the state is still as invested in the Pacers as they were this year.
It's also interesting to see that all the main players keep going to West teams.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's purely weather, but, now Boston and Indiana, who have been the best two teams in the East the last couple of years, are decimated. But, you know, their best players are both out. So yeah. Boston folded for next year. They got rid of Holiday and Porzingis. They'll still be good, though. I mean, Jaylen Brown might be a superstar now, and Derek White's probably the most underrated player in the NBA. But the Lakers got DeAndre Ayton. He must be a lazy mess or something, because I looked at his stats, and he was almost 15 points, 10 rebounds a game, but nobody wants him. He's only 26 years old.
I think the Pacers kicked the tires of him. They wanted him last time he was available, and Phoenix re-signed him.
And he only went for $8 million.
Yeah, something's off there.
Something's wrong there. Pacers picked up Huff, who was kind of split time with Zach Edey at Memphis. He's pretty athletic, runs a good pick and roll. You know, he played at Virginia, if you remember. I don't see him being a centerpiece, though. And then I think I saw the Celtics pulled somebody else, or the Pacers maybe pulled somebody else in today.
I'm not seeing it, but doesn't mean they didn't.
Maybe it was one of those on X that wasn't quite
factual. Yeah. And the Knicks finally hired a coach, and Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting last week. Of course, you and I, and probably most of the people that follow you, are Big Ten fans. 10 NBA player, or 10 of the NBA draft picks were Big Ten players this year, including 8 in the first round. Only one of the 10 played more than 1 year at that Big Ten school.
That's wild.
Barnheiser, who I was shocked got drafted. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Player, but, I mean, you think about those Northwestern teams, and Boo Booey was by far the Northwestern team. He never got a sniff in the NBA, and Barnheiser will probably make a team.
There was I could argue there's better Northwestern players the last 20 years who didn't make the NBA.
I wouldn't have him on my starting five of the last 20 years from Northwestern, but I really wouldn't even want to think about the best players in Northwestern the last 20
years. Me neither. Jay Huff.
Jay Huff.
I'm sad. Yep. So, we'll see. The Hawks are a team making some moves. Yeah, the East is wide open. It'll be interesting.
I think Orlando is a potential sleeper in the East. You know, they they gave Boston a top six game series. Obviously, Detroit looked really good at the end of the year. And if Jaden Ivey can get back in, because the guy who replaced Ivey is under investigation for gambling, that Beasley.
Yeah.
They have clips of him not playing any defense at all. So, yeah.
So this kind of ties in a little bit to NBA. And it's more college athletics. And I just want your opinion on it. We talk about the Wild West anymore, the Wild Wild West that is college athletics. But today, Virginia has signed a 22-year-old Belgian forward. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. This past season, he's 6'8". He played for a professional team in Spain where he averaged 9.3 points, shooting 38% from three. He was projected as a second-round pick, withdrew his name from the NBA draft last month.
So he was getting a professional contract.
Yeah. But 22 years old.
Was it the kid that played on Illinois, the point guard last year that got drafted? Wasn't he a professional player too?
Yeah. Well, I think the kid that Purdue has coming in too played professionally a little bit, but I just don't really understand.
I heard Billis on this morning on a show called Five Clubs. He was on the Golf Channel, and they were talking. He thinks there very soon will be a resolution about the transfer portal where you're basically going to go under contract. Let's say you're Braden Smith. You could sign a 2-year contract for $6 million or whatever. If you wanted to transfer, whatever school would have to buy out the rest of your contract. And each school will have the same amount of money, supposedly, if this under the table boosters is still going to happen. But let's say Braden wanted to leave after 1 year and Gonzaga wanted him. They have to pay the $3 million to Purdue. So Purdue would be flush with money again. And then they'd also have to pay Braden Smith. So that might put an end to all the transfers once you have to start signing a contract. Because it's the only major, you know, college athletics is the only major sports brand where you're not under contract.
Yeah. Well, and I think the reason, and I don't know enough on the legal side, legality or anything, I think the reason they don't want to do contracts is in certain cases, if you do a contract, they become an employee of the university.
Absolutely. And
then it's a whole other set of circumstances and come into play.
Well, you know, think about coaches, you know.
Yeah.
You know, for years, it's a student athlete. But, you know, a guy like Tom Izzo is making $10 million and the biology professor at Michigan State's making $125,000. College is still going to make a lot of money on this.
Right.
So they just have to come up with whatever's fair, you know, across the board so that, you know, football isn't all Alabama and Notre Dame and Texas.
Yeah.
And Ohio State, you know, so we shall see.
Yep. Yep. Got to get something done with the transfer portal, especially in football.
Yeah.
I think something's got to be done. So,
well, in our school, we won't even know any of that. I'll have to have a program for 8 or 9 games.
That's why I'm glad the football game came out today. I fired it up, and I'm going to have to study it. I was shocked. Like, the best player on defense, I'm like, who is this guy? And I looked at him, like, he's a transfer senior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But, we'll see. We'll see. It's always something. Something's always changing in college sports. So, do you want to talk baseball next or did you want to talk NFL? I know you had some interesting kind of topic to bring up for NFL.
Well, I had a question for you in baseball. I see that Clayton Kershaw had his 3,000th strikeout this week, and he's now 20th on the career list in strikeouts. Surefire Hall of Famer, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was looking, my thought was, will we ever see another guy get to 3,000 strikeouts? Because pitchers now pitch 5 innings. Paul Skeens, best pitcher in baseball, pitches 5 innings every game. Leaves and it's 0-0, and then he gets no decision game after game after game. Verlander's 10th and Scherzer's 11th, okay? So they've already made 3,000. Who do you think is next in baseball, closest to 3,000 strikeouts?
Well, Scherzer was got to be my guess. So
yeah,
now
Scherzer's already done it.
Now I got to think. Garrett Cole?
He is actually six. He's there's one guy ahead of Garrett Cole.
Okay.
Garrett Cole has 2,251, so I don't know if he'll get to 3,000.
He can't stay healthy. Yeah. So let me think about this one second.
There's two other guys with over 2,000, and you would never even have thought of these guys, Charlie Morton and Hugh Darvish.
Didn't even know Darvish was still playing, to be honest.
Well, this is just it. Chris Sale is actually the guy closest. Mm. He's 36 years old. He has 2,528. He maybe has a shot at it, but you know, some of these records we used to hold, 3,000 strikeouts was a big deal. You know, kind of like 3,000 hits. I don't know if we'll see it anymore because pitchers don't win 20 games anymore.
No.
You win the Cy Young if you go 13-12 like King Felix did, or, you know, somebody went 10-10 a couple years ago, I believe, or 10-9. Maybe it was DeGrom or somebody. But anyway, I didn't have much about baseball, but I did see it was interesting. There's only one guy who's got 3,000 strikeouts and is eligible that hasn't made the Hall of Fame. Can you think who that might be? He was in real life.
Oh, Roger Clemens.
Yeah. Okay, I guess there's two.
Curt Schilling,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's 17th with 3,116. His political views and stuff have kind of kept him out.
They both should be in. That's stupid.
But Clemens is the best pitcher I've ever seen, but
he was still good in his 40s.
He was good before he was kind of like Barry Bonds. He was good before he put the juice in.
Yeah. Yeah. Most dad, so is McGuire.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. McGuire hit 49 homers as a rookie. It was rail thin.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, in a way, McGuire and Sosa brought baseball back to the American people after the strike. So,
sure.
I just had about the NFL.
All right. Well, can we do the on this day real quick before we do that?
Yeah.
I need to get that segment in here. Let's talk about sporting events that happened on July 7th. A lot of Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Looks like here. On this day, 2012, 1912, American athlete Jim Thorpe wins 4 of 5 events to win the pentathlon gold medal
at the
Stockholm Olympics. Medal stripped in 1913, because he played pro baseball, reinstated in 1982.
Yeah.
Let's see here. A lot of things. This is interesting. On this day, 1936, the fourth MLB All-Star game was played at Braves Field in Boston. After losing the first three All-Star games, the NL won 4-3. Four different Cub players scored the runs.
Oh, yeah. Cubs have always kind of pulled up the whole rest of the National League.
Yeah. On this day, 1948, Cleveland Indians stunned the MLB by signing 42-year-old veteran Negro Leagues pitcher Satchel Paige.
He did all right for himself.
Sure did. Let's see here. Getting into your lifetime now, so I'm trying to find some good ones. A lot of tennis, man. On this day, 1974, Milwaukee's Don Money set an MLB record for consecutive errorless games at third base with 78 in the Brewers' 8-5 win over the Twins.
I remember him.
On this day, 1978, the MLB approves a franchise swap. Buffalo Braves owner John Y. Brown and Harry Mandarin acquired the Boston Celtics, while the Celtics owner Irv Levin gets the Braves, later moved to San Diego to become the Clippers.
Yeah. Buffalo Braves are pretty good in the late 70s. Bob McAdoo.
Franchise swap. On this day, 1998, the 69th MLB All-Star Game was held as the AL won 13-8 at Coors Field in Denver in the highest-scoring All-Star Game in history. The MVP was Roberto Alomar of the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
On this day, 2001, in his first appearance at Daytona since the death of his father, Dale Earnhardt Sr., Dale Earnhardt Jr. won the Pepsi 400. Coming from seventh with nine laps remaining, the beat teammate Michael Waltrip.
I'm sure that was a pretty popular victory.
It was, and that's one of those sports moments that kind of gives you goosebumps. It's kind of a higher power type deal.
Yeah.
Moment. Yeah. I remember that. I remember that pretty well. Even though I was a youngster, I do remember that. On this day in 2006, Cleveland Indians first baseman Travis Hafner became the first player in MLB history to hit five grand slams before the All-Star break.
Wow. Pretty impressive.
And who won the Stanley Cup on this day in 2021?
The Avalanche.
No, they were in 2022. Maybe it was 23. No, they were 22. But in 21, it was the Tampa Bay Lightning went back-to-back, defeating the Montreal Canadiens 4-1.
All right. I'll have to take your word for that.
That's what it says on here. So yeah. We were talking a week or two ago on the pod about how good Florida teams have been in the NHL.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years or so. So. But that's the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Mooney Wood Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and Jamin Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So Thad keeps testing out new designs with his new equipment so he can make pretty much whatever you want. So get your sign order in. And speaking of Thad, he said, got some patches for the podcast. I need to drop off. See? Right there.
Tell Thad I was driving by Nubiano, stopped and picked up a golf ball that he hit off the 9th tee about 15 years ago.
Yeah, Thad, the damage to Nubiano's was not due to you. 15 years ago. So,
yeah,
it was due to somebody else. So,
yeah,
we got about six more minutes. What you got for the NFL?
Well, I know you guys, in particular, a lot of you are big fantasy football
players.
I just put down some guys that if I played fantasy football, that I would look hard to draft. And the first running back I would take is Jahmyr Gibbs from Detroit. I think that guy's going to be a superstar this year. People want to go with Barkley or Henry. Just say you heard it here first. If you want to win your fantasy, Jahmyr Gibbs will overtake David Montgomery and get the ball even more. He was like 5.6 yards a carry last year. If you need another running back, like your number two guy late, I like this Tyrone Tracy for the Giants.
Oh, wonder why you like him.
Yeah. Well, he primarily played for Iowa most of his career, but
2 years of each.
He had a sneaky good year last year with a terrible team. So
he's probably one of the only people associated with Purdue football that was thankful for Ryan Walters and staff.
Yeah, the two receivers, they're both stars now that I can see being. Just huge. Puka Nacua, if he can stay healthy, I think he could blow away a lot of the, you know, everybody's going to want to take Chase and Jefferson for the flashy. I'd look at Puka, and I'd like this Drake London. He sneakily was fourth in receiving yards last year. You know, and I think Penix, I don't know how good he'll be, but I think he's an upgrade over what Kirk Cousins was the first 10 or 12 games last year. So those are the guys I would kind of look at. And the ones I would be, I think I wrote down five guys that have big prove-it years coming up. Kyler Murray, I think it's a big prove-it year. He's been an okay to decent player. This is a year. Josh will love this. I think Tua is on a prove-it year this year. You know, he's been very accurate with the football. It's time to take him into the second round of the playoffs. Justin Fields, one more shot. Trevor Lawrence, you know, maybe the most highly sought after quarterback since Andrew Luck, and he's just not done it. And the receiver, I think, has really got to prove it is Garrett Wilson for the Jets. I think he's gotten by on reputation and stuff, and it's time to put it on the field. So,
how about some older quarterbacks like Russell Wilson at the Giants and Geno Smith with the Raiders?
Yeah, I think they're beyond. They're proven. You know, now it's job security. Let's keep our jobs. You know, and I was saying even Caleb Williams, but it's only his second year. You know, I also had as a fantasy, I would take a hard look at Drake May too. You might be able to get him after the first 10 quarterbacks are taken. I'd do a flyer on that kid. I think he's going to be special.
I like Rome Odunze for the Bears. I had him last year in fantasy. I think he takes a leap this year.
Well, yeah, and hopefully for the Bears' sake, that offense kicks it into gear this year. They have no excuses now. I mean,
yep.
You know, Ben Johnson's supposed to be an offensive innovator. They improved their offensive line. They've got great weapons. It's time. Caleb cannot take 68 sacks this year. He's got to get rid of the football.
Yep.
He didn't throw interceptions, you know, but you got to chuck it down there once in a while. You know, people aren't wide open like they are in college. You got to throw them open.
Well, this is going to be Tanner's book of prediction of the week. Speaking of fantasy football, you're a Colts fan and wanting to draft a Colts quarterback out of the quarterback room, take Daniel Jones, because my book of prediction is he plays more games under center this year than Anthony Richardson.
I think you're probably right. And I'll pull for Daniel Jones. He's got ripped so much in the media. You know, I fall for those guys that have been ripped. I'm kind of happy to see Geno Smith have a good end of his career after being, you know, just ripped for years, or Sam Darnold last year. So I find myself rooting for those guys, and now I've always rooted for Daniel Jones, who had a really good rookie year and the year they made the playoffs, but his other time was less impressive, but the Giants themselves were far less impressive.
In J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week is brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. Travis Watchering is a multi-line agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home, auto, life, and renter's insurance. He also does annuities and much, much more. Contact Travis today at 219-869-4561.
Okay.
All right, Dad, hit me with that birdie or bogey question one more time, please.
Yes. What I asked you was to name at least one of the guys to get a par, both to get a birdie. Players who have had the most wins on the tour under 50 years old that have not won a major championship.
Now, do they have to be actively on tour right now?
They're not on LIV.
Okay. Well, one of them I'm pretty confident is Matt Kuchar.
Matt Kuchar has 9, and one other guy has 9.
Well, the other guy I kind of thought was a LIV guy now. So that
who were you thinking?
I was thinking Gary or Lee Westwood.
Well, he didn't win a lot of PGA events.
So Kuchar, I at least got a par. So let me see here. 9 times without a major win. Gosh, I'm blanking. I'm just gonna take a par. I can't think.
Brent Snedeker.
I could have sat here for 10 more minutes and not come up with Brent. So
the two I thought you might get both have 8 was Billy Horschel and Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, he came to my mind, but All right, I get a par. Still looking for that first birdie of the year. That's pretty sad. It's really like my golf game anymore. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, Dad, thanks again for filling in for the J-Man. Appreciate it.
No problem.
And we'll be back next week, everybody, for the episode 452 of the Tan J-Man Show. Same time, same channel. Have a great week, everybody.
One more thing. Suzuki should have made the All-Star game. The only guy in the major leagues with 25 homers and 75 RBIs.
It's quite a snub. Quite a snub. Yep. So, yep. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.